How can we know for ourselves that we are firmly on the right path of practice? Personally, I'm not sure about where I'm at. I sometimes wonder, well, I might be misrepresenting Dhamma, and when I die, I'm going to fall into hell. I think about that. I'm not terribly concerned about it. However, I am interested in testing myself in this regard, and I am interested in how freely I can feel uncertain. The idea of trying to feel certain, or the attachment to the idea of trying to feel certain, is interesting in as much as I think it's an obstruction. Now, don't hear that as my saying we shouldn't want to feel certain. It's understandable, as I said, to want to feel certain about where you're at in your practice. The relationship we have to wanting to be certain, that's another matter. The emphasis, as far as I'm concerned, is letting go of wanting to be certain, wanting to be sure, though it doesn't mean letting go of wanting. It means just that, letting go of the wanting. And this is a subtle point. It's a very subtle point, a very important point, and requires very careful investigation. As is the case for most people most of the time, they are identified as that movement of mind that we call desire. The suggestion that they should loosen their grasp on it and turn attention around and look at how they feel about wanting to be sure, or how they feel in their relationship to desire, can appear very threatening. You know, the culture we live in is thoroughly normalized greed, and the idea of I wanting and I getting what I want is generally accepted everywhere. So it can feel like a massive renunciation to turn out of the momentum of going outwards, following I want, to understand I want to be sure, and look directly at wanting, and maybe ask who wants. Maybe that produces a different perspective on your relationship with wanting. You can see people going from teacher to teacher, or book to book, or YouTube clip to YouTube clip, looking for indications outside of where they're at in their practice. As understandable as that is, there's no end to it. If we are caught up in the momentum of following wanting, believing that we're going to be happy when we get what we want. As usual, I like to reference my teacher Ajahn Chah, and something he said about this is, there's nothing to be afraid of other than being lost in wanting. There's nothing to be afraid of other than being caught up in desire. I find that a great resource. And we want to really watch out for the clinging to wanting to be sure. It's so tempting. It was understandable when we were children. Though at some stage, if we really want contentment, we're going to have to change our relationship with wanting and learn to hold it lightly. And it's not something we can do with our heads. We've got to come down into the heart, to feel the heat, feel the movement, feel the agitation, feel the disturbance that is wanting, and investigate our relationship. Can we, for instance, put in the suggestion that we feel to the edge of wanting? Is there a context in which this wanting is arising and ceasing? Well, there must be, because you know that you want to be sure. So there's the knowing and there's the known. There's the awareness and there's the activity of awareness. If we're always caught up in the activity, then we're always feeling unsettled, discontented. something else Ajahn Chah said that pertains to this inquiry, and that is, this is a situation that came about when I think it was a government official from one of the Scandinavian nations was visiting and asking Ajahn Chah questions about the point of meditation or the benefit of meditation. And so when he asked Ajahn Chah the question, why do you meditate? Ajahn Chah's reply was, why do you eat? Well, obviously, we eat when we feel hungry. And then the question came back and was, how do you feel when you meditate? And Ajahn Chah's reply was, how do you feel when you've eaten? So just as the body feels hungry and we eat, the heart feels hungry for freedom from suffering. The heart feels hungry for freedom from unawareness and longs for awareness, for accuracy, for clarity of seeing, for peacefulness, for contentment. And the meditation or the Dhamma practice is for nourishing the heart. To answer this question, we enter into a feeling inquiry. It's not just a head question. This official conducting the interview maybe wanted something out of the scriptures or some abstract analysis of why we should or might want to meditate. Ajahn Chah brought it right back into the body. How do you feel? So personally, my approach to this territory is trusting, and I would encourage to cultivate trusting in a balanced awareness, not just a conceptual awareness, a balanced awareness that includes conceptual awareness, head awareness, also heart awareness or emotional awareness, and intuitive awareness, intuitive intelligence, conceptual intelligence, emotional intelligence, intuitive intelligence. So trusting more in a feeling awareness rather than a conceptual awareness. And in reference to that, you might find putting time into the exercise that is presented in the beginning of this Dhammakatha website, the Q&A sessions, where there's a guided meditation called Aligning Meditation, which does just that. It's bringing attention to the head, bringing attention to the heart, bringing attention to the belly, encouraging ease of our heads, openness of our hearts, and contentment of our belly, coming into the whole body and asking this question. If you still want to look outwards and find some indication of what might suggest that you're progressing on the path, then I would encourage looking at or reflecting on your relationship to uncertainty. Maybe you ask yourself the question, am I increasing in my ability to feel feelings of uncertainty, or am I becoming less able? Thank you for the question, and as always, I hope that that's helpful.